Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Open source ecology could change everything. But first, an article from TheNewAmerican.com on the new UN tribunal set to judge the U.S. and possibly the world for its climate debt. The official draft text of the climate treaty for the soon-to-start UN climate summit coming up in Paris proposes to establish a global Supreme Court that would rule on issues such as climate justice, climate finance, technology transfers, and climate debt. Tucked away on page 19 of the 34-page document is the call for establishing an international tribunal of climate justice. The text, which is still heavily bracketed with text that hasn't been completely resolved and agreed upon, reads, quote, "An international tribunal of climate justice as a compliance mechanism is hereby established to address cases of non-compliance of the commitments of developed country parties on mitigation, adaptation, provision of finance, technology development and transfer, and capacity building and transparency of action and support." Oh, the legalese is always tough to get through. "Including the development of an indicative list of consequences, James, taking into account the cause, type, degree, and frequency of non-compliance," end quote. Since that text had been released on October 20th, weeks ago now, there's been a virtual blackout in major media regarding this development. The only places that mention it are pretty much if you do it in a search engine, and it's critics. So this kind of censoring or lying by omission kind of coverage on the planned UN climate tribunal by major media isn't surprising. It follows an interesting and distinctive pattern. We've seen similar kind of media censorship of the regional and global tribunals that were part of NAFTA and WTO treaties and are a part of those. It was only years later when those courts began assaulting U.S. sovereignty and overruling U.S. laws and U.S. court decisions that the subversive nature of these judicial bodies became apparent. Then those erstwhile supporters of these treaties, such as former Senator John Kerry, now Obama's fixer and Secretary of State and promoter of the climate treaty, claimed they had no way of knowing that these international criminal courts would subvert U.S. sovereignty. Same pattern, James, is happening as we look at the TPP right now and the TTIP, those agreements basically to merge respectively the U.S. with Pacific Rim countries and the EU. Again, the mainstream media pretty much seen fit to censor any criticism and virtually any mention of the tribunals that would be established by TPP, TTIP, not to mention NAFTA and WTO, but for our topics right here, James, this new international climate court. So what could possibly go wrong with an international climate court, James?
Well, everything would be the answer. This is a cornerstone of the future global government. You need a global taxation grid, and you need a global court of some sort, and this is at least one step towards the creation of that as the ICC starts to fall apart, as people who've been seeing some of my recent articles might know. But this is, I mean, so important. Paris COP21 cometh, and this is ultimately the game plan. This is where this is heading. So I know there are a lot of well-meaning, deluded people who believe in the goalpost shifting pseudoscience of climate change. No, global weirding. No, what are they going with this week? But it doesn't matter if you believe in that nonsense or not. This is the game plan that they're forwarding. And these are our identifiable, obvious enemies, the John Kerrys of the world and the UN trying to broker some international court to be able to rule upon over different countries because of treaties that are made, of course, in completely non-transparent, anti-democratic ways. And as much uncomfortable as we might be with the idea of democracy and rule a tyranny of the majority, at the very least, there should be some sort of public input in something that's going to rule over all our lives, isn't there? Shouldn't there be? Well, of course there isn't. And this goes back to the Copenhagen conference in 2009, the last time the COP was threatening to come up with this totalizing type of treaty, and at that time the Bolivian delegation was complaining precisely that the way that they tried to arrive at that treaty was anti-democratic, anti-transparent, and unacceptable. And that's just one example. You had a bunch of countries complaining that this was basically going to tie the hands of the developing world for the benefit of the developed world, which has caused so much environmental devastation anyway, again, regardless of what you believe about the, you know, the possibility of X degrees of warming 100 years from in the future, we know that environmental devastation is taking place, that the developed world has benefited from that environmental devastation in the economic sense, and that now the developed world is going to be on the hook for this. So this is a nightmare on every level. We have to oppose this. I'm going to be kicking into overdrive, putting out a lot of material this month, really explaining the background and the consequences of what's going on in Paris, and hopefully we can start to derail it in the way that we derailed Copenhagen in 2009.
Well, and I think you've already started to put out a lot more information, because there's a few related stories to this, and NASA admits Antarctica gaining land ice, but James, you also just kind of made a subtle reference to such a problem of representative democracy. There's a great bit you can read of Bill Gates, you know, known for being an anti, you know, cooperation, monopolist, antitrust kind of guy. But when people disagree, he's not so happy. You can read about him and his little climate rant. Representative democracy is a problem. And a couple of other updates, James, I think that still kind of fall under this first segment. Volkswagen finds new CO2 problems on 800,000 vehicles. An update on the Volkswagen climate fraud story that we covered for you a few weeks ago here on New World Next Week. And we close out this first segment with a small story. French weatherman sacked for writing a book critical of climate change. So, James, I think all those stories really go together to kind of show you what stew we're sort of sitting in and what news comes out and who gets punished for believing in one thing or another. And I think we'll continue through this episode 247 of New World Next Week to kind of show you the through line and hopefully show you the way through. Our second story this week comes via Claire Burnish and the antimedia.org. Indonesian forest fires producing more pollution daily than the entire U.S. economy. One of the worst humanitarian and environmental disasters rages on as we sit here and talk, and chances are you haven't heard of it. I honestly hadn't heard about it, James. Indonesia is burning, literally, and despite the breathtaking size, it's nearly 3,100 miles, it's a flaming swath of land daily producing more emissions than all economic activity in the U.S., and again, for the second story in a row, the media remains virtually silent. As George Munbayat of The Guardian wrote, quote, "A great tract of earth is on fire. It might look as you imagine hell to be. The air has turned ochre. Visibility in some cities has been reduced to 30 meters. Children are being prepared for evacuation in warships. Already some have choked to death. Species are going up in smoke at an untold rate. It's almost certainly the greatest environmental disaster of the 21st century so far," end quote. It's entirely possible we share partial responsibility for fanning these flames, which are now being labeled a crime against humanity. You know, if you buy things like Nestle, Starbucks, Pepsi, and Heinz, which you shouldn't if you still are, and among others, as these companies have been criticized for their criminally irresponsible practices in the palm oil industry. Now, the Indonesian government ultimately perpetuates irresponsible deforestation in its suspicion of those palm oil sourcing corporations that actually attempt reform. So there were five companies that fell under harsh government criticism as much as 2 months back for their attempt to eliminate the practice, with unnamed Indonesian officials describing the effort as harmful to the farmers and a usurpation of governmental authority that might constitute a cartel dominated by foreign interests. Indonesian President Joko Widodo appears to be at least somewhat sympathetic to this issue, but faces staunch opposition from groups that evolved from 1960s death squads operating with support from the West during Suharto's rule. So this profiteering from organized crime that includes illegal deforestation has the support of the 3 million member strong paramilitary Pancasila youth, whose orange camo print uniforms, scarlet berets, sentimental gatherings, and schmaltzy music give the appearance of a fascist militia as imagined by apocalyptic sci-fi novelist J.G. Ballard. So, James, there's a lot to take in there and a lot to learn and continue to research. We'll include some background links into Suharto and the Pancasila youth, like a New York Times article from 1990 that talks about, spoiler alert, CIA involvement. But, James, what of the Indonesia burning?
Well, this is what a real environmental disaster looks like. It is ongoing at the time, and strangely enough, no one seems to care. No one's even aware of it. As you say, most people haven't even heard about this yet. So interesting to see what the global media is prioritizing as we approach Paris and COP21. You know, X degrees of warming 100 years in the future versus a real environmental emergency unfolding right now that is producing more of these toxic, harmful emissions than the entire American economy every single day. Once again, just putting the human aspect of anthropogenic global warming into its proper perspective. But this is an unfolding disaster. And for people who want sort of more detail of what in fact is going on, I'll just read another, I think, important quote from that article. Indonesia's forests have been fragmented for decades by timber and farming companies. Canals have been cut through the peat to drain and dry it. Plantation companies move in to destroy what remains of the forest to plant monocultures of pulpwood, timber, and palm oil. The easiest way to clear the land is to torch it. So that's what they've been doing, and now we have this 3,000-plus mile swath of land erupting in flame. It is absolutely a disaster, not only for the people of Indonesia, but I think for people around the world who, as you say, are responsible. As we like to point out, you are responsible, you vote with your dollars, and if you continue to buy the corporate crap that it relies on this type of these deforestry practices, in order to get the palm oil so that you can have your Pepsi or whatever. I mean, we do contribute to it by making choices, and we cannot contribute to it by making other choices. And I think that's something that we have to keep in perspective with this. So we'll definitely have to keep our eye on this Indonesia fire situation as it continues to unfold. But again, I think one thing that it can come down to is the types of practices that we have in our own daily lives and what we can do about it, which I think leads us into our final story.
I think it does. And our final story, as it has mostly been, we usually kind of save it for the last. We call it good news next week. We've been covering good, positive news all through 2015. And I think, James, in the 1, 2, 3 step, this does sort of show a way forward, learning our way forward and hopefully learning our way out. Inventor releases open source plans that will usher in maker culture. We have right now the great potential for the emergence of this maker culture, which we've discussed a little bit here on New World Next Week in the past, a culture where communities make what they need out of what they already have using ideas and plans developed, tested, and shared freely via open source. So among the ranks of incredible people around the world who are actively bringing about this kind of social and transformation is Marcin Jakubowski, a Polish-born U.S. immigrant whose vision for the future of technology and local sovereignty is being built right now on a small Midwestern farm in the U.S. He got a PhD in fusion physics, and then he settled down on some acreage in rural Missouri to learn the more practice skill of farming. Now he's the mastermind of Open Source Ecology, OSE, a group of engineers, architects, innovators, farmers, forward-thinking pioneers who are condensing 250-plus years of industrial knowledge into a single set of machines and tools that will allow individuals to accomplish industrial-level infrastructure, machining, farming, and energy projects on small local scales using small locally sourced and repurposed materials and biofuels. They're calling it the Global Village Construction Set, GVCS. James, they've got aquaponic greenhouse plans and a lot more. I really just loved looking at some of the videos and the blueprints for some of this. And I think this gets to exactly what we're talking about, that kind of stopped raging against the machine and we're just going to build our own little open source, not based on coercion and violence little machines, James.
Exactly right. Good way of putting it. And people might remember that I covered Jakubowski and this idea back in a podcast on open source back in 2012. So a few years ago, at that time, it was still more of an idea. And now, as you say, it's actually starting to come to fruition with, I believe, was it 16 or 18 of the implements already having been built, and more being tested on and rolled out along the assembly line. Well, I don't know what you call it, really. I mean, they're just creating these things and sharing the blueprints for them freely online, open source. I mean, this is the peer-to-peer revolution. This is at least part of the way forward, and I'm very excited about ideas like this, because ultimately, this is the way around that corporate death control grid that we were just referencing in the previous story. You don't have to support the PepsiCos and the whatever, the Fortune 500 corporations. the more that you can do this for yourself, these types of things, the less you have to rely on that, and the more that we can get away from that that infrastructure that relies on the devastation of nations. So this is one way forward. I'm, you know, hats off to Jakubowski, and let's get behind this and start implementing it in our own communities.
Absolutely. And I was kind of reminded, and someone mentioned to me recently how much they enjoyed the Library of Things story that we covered a couple of months ago here, about where you can just sort of open source, share what you need at the library, whether it's ski poles or shovels or anything you need in your real life. A couple of other stories we got, James, people using hashtag good news next week. A community on Orcas Island, which is up in Washington State, created their own internet service, and a paralyzed man walks in the first ever proof direct brain control is possible. Now, there's a stunning amount of news and info that people are spreading using hashtag new world next week. James, I actually was kind of scrolling down the list earlier, and I had scrolled a lot before I even realized I was only a day or two back. More and more people, I think, are using the hashtag, and I find myself being more and more informed. And that's, again, why we're here, kind of sharing some of this information. So there's a lot there. I'll just mention a couple of the quick ones that we are watching and stories that we've covered here in the past on New World Next Week. Soros admits involvement in the migrant crisis, saying national borders are the obstacle. The U.S. spends $40 million to build a $500,000 gas station in Afghanistan. A bunch of U.S. senators and mayors are accused of being KKK members, and the police clamp down on feared unrest coming up for the Million Mask March, which will or won't be happening by the time everyone's watching this. And I'll just say, remember to support independent media. James?
Yes, and of course we are excited and ecstatic that people are using the New World Next Week and Good News Next Week hashtags more to spread this information around, not just to ourselves, but to everyone who follows the hashtag, so that it can become more of an open source community. But on that note, I should mention that the open source ecology story from today came from good old-fashioned email from listener Tanya, who let me know about that story. Yeah. So that's another way to get these stories to us. Of course, you can contact Media Monarchy at the Media Monarchy Kingdom, MediaMonarchy.com. Go there, find the contact details, or of course you can use the contact form on CorbettReport.com. Lots of ways to get these stories to ourselves and to hopefully a wider audience. And on that note, we're going to do it all again next week. James, thank you for your time.
Thanks, buddy.